maybe start out this new year thinking more about what we're blessed with rather than the things that we don't necessarily have. And when we talk about this, we need to think about these blessings or gifts. And in James 1, 17 and 18, it says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation or shadow," basically made by turning or upturning. "Of His own will He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures." And I talked about how we are given life, and it's amazing when we look at that, and then we're given this wonderful creation to look at and to know that there's a God. And then another thing that we're given is friends, and I talked about the fact that, from our viewpoint, how have we touched other people's lives? We look at the New Testament and the Old Testament, we see all these people that are our brothers and sisters. And we think about their lives and how they touched so many people, and we tend to think we don't do that, but we do. And you think about, say, people that you've known in your life and how they've touched you. And so when I think about this, I think about the one area where we certainly touch other people's lives is in our families. And many times, I'm afraid we don't look at it as a family unit, as a blessing, but as a curse. We think of all the responsibilities that go with that. And the way we look at one another is it's more trouble than it's worth. I should have just put parents, but I put good parents, because in Ephesians 6, verse 1, he says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." I always remember Bill Cosby. He said that his mother said, "I hope your children turn out just like you did." And he said she cursed him with that because they did. It's not a curse. But one of the things that happens is that's the way children are. And we tend to rebel and we tend to think that God will be pleased with this, and He will not. It is a commandment from Him. It's always been a commandment for Him that children obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right. Parents are worthy of being obeyed. Now, when I say that, I'm not talking about perfection here. I'm not talking about the fact that they're worthy in the sense that they deserve it because they're so good. I'm talking about they're worthy because God said it. That makes them worthy of being obeyed. When they tell you to do something, unless it violates God's law, don't in any way be disrespectful to them. Matter of fact, you need to honor them, according to the next verses. Honor your father and mother that it may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth. When you think about this, it was the first commandment with promise, he says. There was a promise came with this command. Let's do the reverse. Don't honor your father and mother. Mistreat them and see how your life turns out. He says there's a warning comes with this because the promise only comes if you do honor them. And there's honor to be given to them rather than disrespect and thinking they're a bunch of old fogies that don't know what they're talking about. People who have gone through life, who understand and know things. But boy, we are so much smarter than them for some reason. Mark Twain said it real well. He said when he was 20 years old, his parents were the dumbest people he ever met in the world. He said when he turned 21, it was amazing how much they'd learned in 1 year. The whole point he's making is they really know a lot. Perfect? No. Worthy of being treated right? Yes, because God said it. How about our spouses? A lot of work, isn't it? I mean, you're two different people. Two different ways of looking at life. Males and females look at things differently. But let me talk about our wives to start with. It is so easy for me to mistreat Linda. And in return, I think, how many times God has not mistreated me when I actually deserved it? But there's times I mistreat her when she doesn't deserve it. The Bible says she's worthy of love. Not just any kind of love, but a love that says, I'll do you right regardless of what you do. In Ephesians 5:25, we need to have the same kind of love, that sacrificial love that Christ had. He gave up His life for His wife, us. Now, would I do that? Is my life worth more than that or less than that? She's worthy of honor. As a matter of fact, if I don't do this, I can get in some real trouble with God. She is worthy of me placing her on the highest pedestal that I possibly can. Not another woman, but her. It clearly says, likewise, you husbands, dwell with them with understanding. I don't need to understand Brenda. She's not my wife. I can understand her as far as a Christian's concerned, but not as a wife. I don't need to do that. I don't need to understand Linda like I do Lauren, because I need to understand Linda because she's my wife. I have to work at that. And I've said all along, for you women, hardest job God ever gave us. And I will tell you up front, and I'm not ashamed of that. I don't have your emotions. I don't have your way of looking at things. It's impossible. But I try to look at it the way Linda does. Do I always succeed in that? No, but I need to do that according to this. Giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel. Honey, would you go out and plow the garden for me? Can you pick up those big rocks? Let me sit here on the stump and watch you. And as being heirs together of the grace of life, what a wonderful thing. We're heirs together. But giving honor in the middle of this to the wife. And then I want to go drop down out of the end. Let your prayers be not hindered. I picked that one out because honor. Do I honor her like I should? I fail in this. I think every husband who's honest would say that. We try, but we don't always succeed. So I'll pick on the women for a while. In Titus 2:2-4. I didn't do that real well there either. But anyway, tell the older women who've gone through all of this to teach the younger women to love their husbands. He starts out this chapter with something. He said, speak. You speak the things that are sound doctrine. And I'll always remember this from Carol Sutton. He said, this may not sound good, but it is sound doctrine. Older women, teach the younger women. Don't complain about your husbands. They are maybe worthy of it sometimes, but don't complain about that. I'm saying worthy because God made this. He meant for women to love their husbands. And He said, knowing that it would be so easy being the head of the family. Oh, it is so easy to pick on those that have to make the decisions. I'm guilty of this. Don't you love it? I mean, you can easily pick on the government. You can pick on your boss at work. We make mistakes. Easy to pick on those in authority. So, your husband's the head of the family. It's not because he wants to be. It's because he's given that responsibility. And so, as a result of that, it says the husband in this verse, in verse 33, should love his wife. But see that she respects her husband. I see so much disrespect. So many times where that is not true. And children, boy, are they a burden. Man, oh man. I mean, you know, you got to feed these little crumb snatchers. You got to take care of them. I was thinking in terms of this. Remember Eric talking about he had to go in. Natalie was, I forget how many times, to change the bed sheets. You familiar with this? You know, after you've got a wife that's sick and then you got a child that's sick. And I just want to use him. And how many women have done this over and over and over again? But I was thinking as he was cleaning up, and excuse the terminology, this is a vomit. I was thinking how many times God's cleaned us up, wiped us off, took care of us, over and over and over again. And yet, we whine and complain because we had to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and take care of this child. We don't mean it. We don't mean they're an inconvenience, but they're a blessing. Such a blessing from the Lord. In the 128th Psalm, I read this earlier, isn't it a wonderful thing to be able to sit around that table and there's all the children eating every last piece of food you have? Sorry. I got to pick on Cody. So we were talking about going out to eat, and he's like, man, I can't go to these places. You know what it costs to feed this group? And I was thinking in terms of, I mean, we are so blessed to live in a country, and I'm not really picking on him. But you know, it's one of those things where it is such a blessing to have them and to think that God has blessed you with all these children, and there they are in your home. Your children like olive plants all around your table. I was thinking in terms of the way David was looking at this, they're all around your table. I mean, not just four of them. There's a bunch of them there. And they're a blessing from God. And how many people kill them before they even come out of the womb? And then kill them when they come out of the womb. And then destroy their lives when they come out of the womb. It is so horrifying to me to watch how people do not understand that they need to be spending lots and lots of time with these children. You get one shot. I've never got to go back. And boy, you know, there's times you think,
wow, if I could just tweak that just a little bit. But you can't.
In the 127th Psalm, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain that built it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain. And I believe every bit of this is talking about the home. He's talking about we have guardship over our families and we have to watch it. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so He gives His beloved sleep. Just turn it over to God. Let Him be the one. Give God all of this. I prayed constantly with both Samantha and Bill that God overruled the stupid mistakes I made while I was growing up. And thankfully, I thank God that despite all the mistakes, they're trying to live their lives right before God. It sure isn't no pat on my back. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward. Not a punishment, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. They're worthy of our time. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but spend all of your time out making money so you can give them, give and give to them. That's what you need to do. That's not what He said. Provoke not your children to wrath, but train them up. It's not the church's responsibility, it's yours, fathers. Train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's not a matter of just giving them a little bit of a meal. You have a whole diet to give them. If you want them to succeed, fathers, you better give them this one. You can feed them a lot of good food, and they can die well fed physically and go to hell eternally. And boy, do I love the church. I was thinking today, touching my lives. You've all touched my lives in so many ways. Ways that have made changes in my life. Ways that have meant so much to me. And I'm not just saying that. I actually could take this time and another time to tell you how much I could go around the room and tell each one of you just some small ways that you've touched my life and made my life different. I mean, Lily didn't even mean to. I know she's not a part of the church, but Lily didn't even mean to, but she was born the exact same day that I was. That touches my life. We have this common bond. They were together and had all things common in Acts 2. Sold the possessions and goods and parted them to each one as everyone had need. When we see a need, we will do that. We will try to help in any way. It may be an emotional need, but when we know about it, we try to help someone. Oh, we're not all good at it. I'm terrible at it sometimes, but I'll tell you what. Here they are, breaking bread from house to house, and they eat their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. I was thinking when we got together the other day, when some of you were able to come over. It is a blessing when you left. It is a blessing. No. Just wanted to say that. I got to tell you something. I enjoy that so much. And it is no problem afterwards. When we finally get everybody up to time. Keep saying that. To look at the house and to think, God gave us this blessing today. And so it makes it very easy to go around and just clean things right back up. I was telling Glenn, and I said, we built a house so we could just clean things right back up easily. He said, well, I messed up your yard. I said, that's what it's for. I don't care. So my yard may be messed up, but people will know somebody was there. And I love that. I love this common bond that we have. I love this shared love that we have. And how in Romans 12:10, he says, we need to prefer one another. Give honor to one another. Prefer one another. In love. And he talks about our love being without hypocrisy. We don't pretend. We really do care about one another. In Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, one of the ways we show it, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Why do we come together? We're trying to provoke each other to love. Not forsaking these assemblies, because we know what it means to each other. We have this collective meal or shared meal together. And when I said worthy earlier, you know who made us worthy to partake of this? Christ did with His death on the cross. But that's not what that's talking about in 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11, he's not talking about being worthy, because if it came down to it, me personally being worthy, could never partake of it. But what is he talking about?
The fact that we're not discerning the Lord's body.
We're not thinking about what we need to be thinking about when we're partaking of this together. It is the meal that we share.
Once a month we try to go out to eat together. And I love that. But I'll tell you what, once a week we come here to partake of this meal, this to me brings it all together.
We enjoy this together. It is for Christians to enjoy the blessings that come from that, to reflect on what Christ did for us, to reflect on His blood and His body. It's not down there anymore, but His blood and His body. And to think of it being separated because death came. It's talking about His death. But like I've said before, when we ingest it back in us, we bring Him back together inside of us till He comes again. We believe that He was resurrected from the dead. We celebrate that death because of what it meant to us. But we celebrate that resurrection because we know what that means to us as well. And we're thankful for all of that that He gave us. We have a mutual goal. In Jude, verse 3, he talks about this collective goal that we have. And it has to do with something that's common, not in the sense of it being common, but in the sense that we jointly appreciate it together. And what does he say? Beloved, while I was very diligent to you, write concerning our common salvation. What do we have in common, all of us? Our salvation. Wow, what a wonderful thing to be able to have this salvation in Him. I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. And he talks about in Philippians 3:20. It's one of my favorite passages of Scripture, where he's discussing the fact that he had this earthly life, and he understood that. But now his whole attitude has changed about things, Paul's has, because he realizes something way beyond this. And all of that is a waste. So he's striving for something, and he says, I'm pressing forward to that. And at the end of this chapter, our citizenship is in heaven. Common citizenship. We all have a part of that right now, from which we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able to even subdue all things by Himself. But we have a united truth. At least we should have. In 1 Corinthians 1:10, he talks about the fact that we need to be united in every respect. He was concerned, Paul was, about the church at Corinth, that they were not united. And he says, I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same things, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And in 3 John 8, he pleads for that as well, this ability to come together in understanding of God's Word. That's why we get together to study. We're all striving to come to the same knowledge of the truth. We're all trying, even though we're at different levels in our ability to understand and our ability to do. But we're fellow workers. I love this passage in 3 John. We are fellow workers for the truth. That's what we are, together. We have a joint time to meet. In Acts 20, verse 7, the disciples came together on the first day of the week to break bread. One time that they jointly came together. And in 1 Corinthians 14:23, he gives us an understanding of what that is. He talks about when all them came into the one place. Let me read it. If the whole church comes together in one place, it's determined to be an assembly. That's what he wants us to do, assemble together. But it's a working body. I've said this before. If we could get this concept down, he's trying to get across to us that we're a body. Each part. And each part has a different ability and a different use. Whether it's a finger, an ear, a nose, whatever you want to picture yourself being. When we think about this, he talks about the fact that each part's important. And that we have certain parts that maybe aren't as comely as other parts. And in our physical body, we cover those up. And he says, we need to think about that in the Lord's church. Instead of being upset with someone, we need to be able to help them. We need to be able to make good use of that person. And think about this for a moment. I'm going to say it one more time. Your own physical body. Question. Which part Would you just go out here today and say, you know what, I don't need that anymore, just whack it off. I don't need this arm anymore, just take it off. Which one of us wants to lose a body part? None of us. But we'll so easily give up those that are in the Lord's church. We don't even bother. They left and we go, well, they knew better. We need to think about it. The greatest blessing of all. Christ, our sacrifice for sin. I just want to use one passage with this. He blesses us with all spiritual blessings. There are no spiritual blessings outside of Christ. There is not one that the Father gave us that's outside of Christ. I'm going to read this passage of Scripture, and as I read it, I'll try to keep up with it. I probably won't put them up as quickly, but it's worth reading. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose in us before the world began that we should be holy and blameless or without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to the adoption as sons. See, we weren't in it. Even these Jews weren't. They thought that they were in it, but He said no, everyone had to be adopted in because every one of us had been outside. He has, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He has made us accepted in the beloved. I can't be accepted any other way. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time He might gather us together in Him. Let me reread that. That in the dispensation of the fullness of the times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him. He brought all things together through Him. In whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of the salvation, which also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. And the weather is just killing me. Sorry. When we think of all these spiritual blessings that are in Christ, and I didn't list every one that's listed there, but I put up some of them. You think about it for a moment. Those are the important ones, and those are the ones we need to look at. Found this poem. I don't usually use them because I believe in God's Word and I believe we can find it there. But this person said this so beautifully that I just wanted to use it. I've never made a fortune, and probably too late now, but I don't worry about that much. I'm happy anyhow. And as I go along life's way, I'm reaping better than I sowed. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. Haven't got a lot of riches, but and sometimes the going's tough, but I got loving ones all around me, and that makes me rich enough. I thank God for His blessings and the mercies He's bestowed. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup is overflowed. I remember times when things went wrong, my faith wore somewhat thin, but all at once the dark clouds broke and the sun peeped through again. So Lord, help me not to gripe about the tough rows I have hoed. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. If God gives me strength and courage when the way grows steep and rough, I'll not ask for other blessings. I'm already blessed enough. And may I never be too busy to help others bear their load. Then I'll keep drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. When I think of how many people in this world have it worse than I do, I realize just how blessed most of us really are. It's written by one called Praven. I just want to put their name up there. It's not a poet by any stretch of imagination, but it's a beautiful way to look at life. And when I thought about this as I read this, I thought, how many times I've been trying to drink out of a coffee cup and had the saucer and it went over in it, and I was thinking, now it's in my saucer. And I never realized. It's because I had blessings way beyond what I ever thought I had. So I'm going to finish this the same way I did the first one. Regardless of how we look at life, we're exceedingly abundantly blessed by God. And I want to use this passage again. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, from Habakkuk 3:16 through 19. Though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food. Though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herds in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and He will make me walk on my high hills. And I think it's such a beautiful, beautiful passage. How can we not have a joy in our lives starting out this new year? We all have things in our life, the ups and downs of life. But the truth is, we have something beyond this life. If we take the time to look back at last year, think of all the things you've been blessed with, and then thank God for it all. I'm not talking about try to give Him a list. You couldn't. But try to think through them and do thank Him so much. I was thinking about health. I just want to bring this out. When is it you appreciate your health the most? Every one of you will say the same thing. It's when you don't have good health. It's not when you have it. Isn't it amazing how we are? When is it we appreciate spiritual health the most? When we realize we need to get back into God and we need His healing from our sins. When we fully realize that, if you're not a Christian, you need that healing. To be truly blessed, one needs to be obedient to the Lord. I'm asking you, you want to be blessed? Become a Christian today. If you have any needs, we'll be glad to assist you. Would you please stand?